Sunday in November. I'm Frank Messer, sitting in for your regular Sunday evening host, Brad Crandall. One of baseball's living legends hit the half-century mark today, and Joe Garagiola recalls the day he was fresh off the farm, right after we hear from Steve and Ethan.
Please take your medicine, dear world. Please keep your pressure down, dear world. Promise to thrive on each word your doctor speaks. He'll bring the roses back to your cheeks. For you've been a pallid and lower. Stick out your tongue and say our word. We'll give you plasma and tonic by the spoon. So be a dear world. Take your medicine, dear world. Keep your pressure down, dear world. Please keep your fever down, dear world. Please keep your courage up, dear world. Though you've been feeling a little under par, you'll heal completely without a scar. So please make it snappy and quick, world.
Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company. A sports milestone that may shake up a few of the over 30 generation, Joe Garagiola tells about it in 1 minute. First, this from State Farm.
Hello, I'm Pat Paulson. One night I was sitting in my den trying to relax with a good book in front of a roaring fire. I found it difficult to relax because I don't have a fireplace. Considering the situation carefully, I decided to call the fire department. And I also called my State Farm agent. I called him because I have a low-cost homeowner's policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's biggest homeowner's insurer. A policy that protects my home and belongings, that covers them in case of fire, storm, theft, that protects me in the event of, perish forbid, a liability lawsuit. Soon I had a check from State Farm to cover damages. I still don't have a fireplace, but I read a lot in front of the furnace.
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Now, here's Joe Garagiola.
I guess the first time he ever got his name on a sports page, nobody really knew who he was. The story said that Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis, then the commissioner of baseball, had settled a dispute between a couple of baseball clubs over a 17-year-old youngster. And as a result, the Cleveland Indians wound up with a pitcher named Robert William Andrew Feller. It was not to be the last time that a sports page would carry the name of Bob Feller. It didn't take long before the name began to create interest. This guy could really throw hard. In his very first year in spring training, people were beginning to compare him to Walter Johnson, already a baseball immortal. Not very much was known about him, except that he was supposed to have a great fastball, and he came from the farming community of Van Meter, Iowa. Even in a baseball uniform, you could tell Bob Feller was a country boy. He walked as though he had just taken the plow out of his hand. First time he showed up against the St. Louis Browns, somebody asked Luke Sewell if he believed all that he'd heard about Bob Feller. At this point, Feller was just walking across the field, and Sewell said, "Is that him?" And when he was told that it was, Sewell watched the boy walk a few feet and then said, "I'll tell you one thing, I believe he's from Van Meter, Iowa." It didn't take Bob Feller long to make believers out of everyone. Now, I'm not going to bore you with a lot of statistics, but I would like to tell you about one thing. He led the American League in strikeouts for 4 years, spent the next four in the Navy during World War II, and then he came back and led the league 3 more years in a row. He pitched 3 no-hitters in his career and 12 one-hitters. One of his no-hitters was the basis for one of baseball's most famous trick questions. Which team had exactly the same batting average for every player after the game as they had before? And the answer was the Chicago White Sox, after Bob Feller pitched a no-hitter against them on opening day in 1940. Bob Feller went on to do one of the toughest things that any of the Phenom kids can do. He lived up to the big buildup he had gotten before he started. And today, he's a Hall of Famer. Unless you're a teenager, chances are that you saw Bobby Feller pitch, either in person or on television. It's a cinch that if you ever saw him, you have a picture of him in your mind's eye. Well, I hope this doesn't distort that picture, but Bobby Feller is 50 years old today. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Another winner for composer Jimmy Webb and singer Glenn Campbell. It's Wichita Lineman.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire.
Music, perfect at home, wonderful in the car to make traveling more pleasant. More of it is directly ahead on the Monitor Beacon.
Under the 8 years of Democratic rule, crime and violence have reached an all-time high. There's disorder in the streets. There's a loss of respect for family, church, and school. Richard Nixon offers a desperately needed change.
If violence is met with indifference or appeasement, if the individual is no longer held responsible for his actions, if a fog of permissiveness blurs our moral vision, if there has been an erosion of respect and decency, if there is too little concern about the social causes of disorder, then fundamental sources of order bear some of the responsibility. I know that we need better leadership, and so I say, let us renew our commitment to the traditional American standards. For only if we do these things will we have order and justice in America.
Who's the one who can restore tranquility in this country? When you vote on November 5th, remember, Nixon's the one.
The proceeding was a pre-recorded political announcement paid for by the Nixon Agnew Victory Committee.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York. Monitor, and I'm Frank Musser at 19 minutes after the hour. If you've been wondering whatever happened to the Mills Brothers, wonder no more, for here's their latest, The Old Racetrack.
Say, will you lend me a fiver, Jack? I know today I could win it all back. I only need me one more crack at the old racetrack. And I've been living in a rundown shack, and though my future is looking bright, it won't be long till I win it all back at the old racetrack. Jack, I know someday I will pay you back. I only need me one more crack at the old racetrack. I only need me one more crack at the old racetrack.
A Monitor News special. What are the feelings of American servicemen in Vietnam on the importance of Tuesday's election? Here with that story is Jack Russell, NBC News, Saigon.
American servicemen in Vietnam don't wear Nixon, Humphrey, or Wallace buttons, but they are very much concerned with the outcome of the election. They believe the next president will be responsible for ending the war, for getting them home. It is estimated that about two-thirds of the 534,000 men fighting in Vietnam are of voting age. There are indications, but no statistics, that a surprisingly large number of these servicemen have already cast absentee ballots. Weeks before the election, officers were appointed in each unit to canvass eligible voters and help them register in their home state. Officers say the interest is high, but there is no way of telling how many mails in their ballots. In some states where the vote is expected to run close, these soldier ballots could be critical. Infantrymen guarding the flat paddy land surrounding Saigon probably speak for most soldiers and Marines in Vietnam. They all told me that ending the war, many added honorably, is the most important job of the next president. For them, this is the crucial issue. Many, especially Negro soldiers, believe also that civil rights should have a high priority in the next administration. They only disagree on how these issues should be solved and which candidate, Nixon, Wallace, or Humphrey, should get the job. But they are very much interested. One infantryman said, "I'm risking my life. You can bet I'm voting." Jack Russell, NBC News, Saigon.
Expert, quick, accurate. Those three words describe election night coverage on NBC radio and TV. Inside NBC News Election Central will be anchormen Russ Ward and Peter Hackis. Projections and analysis will be handled by Bill Ryan, while Dean Mell and Robert McCormick will help to complete the total coverage of all national and state races. On Tuesday night, get the best election coverage starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on NBC Radio. Jankowski's orchestra, and the name of the song is Slick. This is Monitor. Enjoyable weekend listening wherever you might be in the USA. Folks in Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, hear us on WOPI. This is Frank Messer.
The following is a political program. Here is Richard Nixon.
I want to talk especially to those 20 million Americans who are over 65 years of age, that generation of my parents, my teachers and others who guided me through the formative years of my life. The first thing I'm going to do is to nail once and for all one of those false charges that the political opposition has made in an effort to confuse the older generation. I refer to the charge that I am against the provisions of Social Security and Medicare. Let me make this very clear. I am not only for the benefits of Social Security and Medicare, I want to improve and extend them so that they will cover more people and be more effective for each person who needs them. Too many politicians have misled the elderly with lavish promises or patronized them with caretaker attitudes. Too few have addressed themselves to the real problems of the aging. I want to take up a few of those problems right now. I have proposed an automatic cost of living increase in Social Security and railroad retirement benefits so that when prices do go up, benefits go up automatically. Some of us have been pushing this proposal for quite a while, but the present administration has actually opposed it and kept it from becoming law. I have urged other workable improvements in Social Security. For example, an increase in widows' benefits, new permission for those who work past age 65 to build their benefits to higher levels, extension of Social Security to cover all older citizens, and a relaxation of the existing limits on how much Social Security recipients can earn. In these and other ways, we can help to improve the financial picture among older Americans. Another critical aspect of this whole question is medical care. It is an unhappy fact that Americans over 65 get less adequate medical care than younger Americans, even though they are sick more often. And illness is still a major economic burden for older people, as many of you know only too well. Wasn't Medicare supposed to take care of all this? Many are asking, what's gone wrong? And the answer is that Medicare simply has not worked as effectively as it ought to be working. Often it does not get to the people who need it most. Delays in payment often seem endless. The program is hopelessly tangled in red tape. That is why I propose to make Medicare work better by simplifying the program and by improving its efficiency. I have proposed a 100% income tax deduction for drug and medical expenses, which older people still have to pay for out of their own pockets. In addition, I will appoint a special White House assistant on the aging to keep me informed of new ideas and in touch with the many councils and organizations devoted to the cause of the elderly. This approach will help find new ways of encouraging older citizens to remain active in income-producing occupations or in the voluntary activities of your communities. I believe that job placement services, education and training programs, various government service corps, can do a much better job than they have been doing of involving older people. Those are just a few of the possibilities. An increasing sense of utility and participation can make a vital difference in the lives of older Americans. As Oliver Wendell Holmes said at the age of 90, the work is never done while the power to work remains. For to live is to function. That is all there is to living. Perhaps it's because I have looked up to the older generation for so long that I simply cannot accept the idea that the government must now become a custodian or a caretaker for them, or that older citizens should be treated as a mere ward of the state. I prefer to see the government, through strength in Social Security and strength in Medicare, and through other strong programs, entering into a creative partnership with the aging, helping and encouraging them so that they can make the maximum social contribution of which they are capable. If you, as older Americans, will do that, then all of your countrymen will be the beneficiaries, and you in turn will retain the independence, the dignity, the sense of usefulness that your generation deserves. For my part, I make this pledge. I will do everything in my power to achieve the goals we have discussed.
If you're a concerned American looking for answers to the complex questions facing us, then be sure to tune in on Election Eve to Ask Richard Nixon, a live two-hour telethon in which Mr. Nixon will answer questions phoned in from all over the country. Questions about programs and policies, about personalities and personal feelings. That's Ask Richard Nixon, a live two-hour telethon on Election Eve. Check local papers for channel and time. The preceding pre-recorded political program was paid for by the Nixon-Agnew Campaign Committee. This is Peter Hackus. From start to finish, live across the nation, hear complete election night results on NBC Radio.